Chapter 43, What Cook Was Stirring. That night, Despero rolled the thread from the threadmaster's lair along numerable hallways and down three flights of stairs. Reader, allow me to put this in perspective for you. Your average house mouse, or castle mouse, if you will, weighs somewhere in the neighborhood of 4 ounces. Despero, as you well know, was in no way average. In fact, he was so incredibly small that he weighed about half of what the average mouse weighs, 2 ounces. That is all. Think about it. He was nothing but 2 ounces of mouse pushing a spool of thread that weighed almost as much as he did. Honestly, reader, what do you think the chances are of such a small mouse succeeding in his quest? Zip, zero, nada. Goose eggs. But you must admit, when you are calculating the odds of the mouse's success, factor in his love for the princess. Love, as we have already discussed, is a powerful, wonderful, ridiculous thing, capable of moving mountains and spools of thread. Even with the love and purpose in his heart, Despero was very, very tired when he reached the door to the castle kitchen at midnight. His paws were shaking and his muscles were jumping, and the place where his tail should be was throbbing. And he still had a very, very long way to go, into the kitchen and down the many stairs of the dungeon, and then through, somehow, some way, through the rat-filled darkness of the dungeon itself, not knowing where he was going. And oh, reader, when he stopped to consider what lay ahead of him, Despero was filled with an icky feeling of despair. He leaned his head against a spool of thread, and he smelled celery there, and he thought of Hovis and how Hovis seemed to believe in him and his quest. So the mouse raised his head and squared his shoulders and pushed the spool of thread forward again into the kitchen, where he saw, too late, that there was a light burning. Despero froze. Cook was in the kitchen. She was bent over the stove. She was stirring something. Was it sauce? No. Was it a stew? No. What Cook was stirring was soup. Soup, reader, in the king's own castle, against the king's law, right under the king's very nose. Cook was making soup. As the mouse looked on, Cook put her face into the steam rising from the pot and took a deep breath. She smiled a beatific smile, and the steam rose around her and caught the light of the candle and made a halo over her head. Despero knew how Cook felt about mice in her kitchen. He remembered quite clearly her instructions to Mig regarding himself. Kill him. The only good mouse is a dead mouse. But he had to go through Cook's kitchen to get to the dungeon door, and he had no time to waste. Soon the daylight would dawn, and the whole castle would be awake, and a mouse would have no chance at all of pushing a spool of thread across the floor without attracting a great deal of attention. He would have to sneak past the mouse-hating Cook now. And so, screwing his courage to the sticking place, Despero leaned against the spool of thread and set it rolling across the floor. Cook turned from the stove, a dripping spoon in her hand and a frightened look on her face, and shouted, "Who's there?" Chapter 44. Whose ears are those? "Who's there?" shouted Cook again. Despero, wisely, said nothing. The kitchen was silent. "Hmph," said Cook. "Nothing. It's nothing at all. Just my nervous Nelly ears playing tricks on me." "You're an old fool," she said to herself as she turned back to the stove. "You're just an old fool afraid of being caught making soup." Despero slumped against the spool of thread, and as he leaned there, his heart pounding, his paws shaking, a small, wonderful something occurred. A midnight breeze entered the kitchen and danced over to the stove and picked up the scent of the soup and then swirled across the floor and delivered the smell right directly to the mouse's nose. Despero put his head up in the air. He sniffed. He sniffed some more. He had never in his life smelled anything so lovely, so inspiring. With each sniff he took, he felt himself growing stronger, braver. Cook leaned in close to the kettle and put the spoon in and took the spoon out and blew upon the spoon and then brought it to her lips and sipped and swallowed. "Mmm," she said. "Huh," she took another sip. "Missing something," she said. "More salt, maybe." She put the spoon down and took up an enormous salt shaker and sprinkled salt into the kettle. And Despero, feeling emboldened by the smell of soup, again set to work pushing the spool of thread. "Quickly," he said to himself, rolling the spool across the floor. "Do it quickly. Do not think. Just push." Cook whirled the salt shaker in her hand and shouted, "Who goes there?" Despero stopped pushing. He hid behind the spool of thread as Cook took the candle from the stove and held it up high. "Huh," she said. The candlelight came closer, closer. "What's this?" The light came to rest directly on Despero's big ear sticking up from behind the spool of thread. "Huh," said Cook. "Whose ears are those?" And the light from the candle then shone fully in Despero's face. "A mouse," said Cook. "A mouse in my kitchen." Despero closed his eyes. He prepared for death. He waited, reader, and waited. And then he heard the sound of laughter. He opened his eyes and looked at Cook. "Ha!" said Cook. "Ho he! For the first time in my life, I'm glad to see a mouse in my kitchen." "Why?" she asked. "Why am I glad?" "Ho he! Because a mouse is not a king's man here to punish me for making soup. That is why. Because a mouse is not a king's man here to take me to the dungeon for owning a spoon. Ho he! A mouse! I, Cook, am glad to see a mouse." Cook's face was red and her stomach was shaking. "Ho he!" she said again, "and not just any mouse. A mouse with a needle tied around his waist. And a mouse with no tail. Ain't it lovely? Ho he!" She shook her head and wiped at her eyes. "Look, mouse, these are extraordinary times, and because of that, we must have some peace between us. I will not ask what you are doing in my kitchen, and you, in return, will tell no one what I am cooking." She turned then and went back to the stove and set down the candle and picked up the spoon and again put it in the pot of soup and took it back out and tasted the soup, smacking her lips together. "Not right," she said. "Not quite right. Missing something still." Despero did not move. He could not move. He was paralyzed by fear. He sat on the kitchen floor. One small tear fell out of his left eye. He had expected Cook to kill him. Instead, reader, she had laughed at him. And he was surprised how much her laughter hurt. Chapter 45. Some Soup. Cook stirred the soup and then put the soup down and held up the candle and looked over at Despero. "What are you waiting for?" she said. "Go, go, go. There will never be another opportunity for a mouse to escape from my kitchen unharmed." The smell of soup again wafted in Despero's direction. He put his nose up in the air. His whiskers trembled. "Yes," said Cook, "that is soup that you are smelling. The princess, not that you would know or care, is missing. Bless her good-hearted self. And times are terrible. And when times are terrible, soup is the answer. Don't it smell like the answer?" "Yes," said Despero. He nodded. Cook turned away from him. She put the candle down and picked up her spoon and started to stir. "Oh," she said, "these are dark days." She shook her head. "And I'm kidding myself. There ain't no point in making soup unless others eat it. Soup needs another mouth to taste it, another heart to be warmed by it." She stopped stirring. She turned and looked at Despero. "Mouse," said Cook, "would you like some soup?" And then, without waiting for an answer, she took a saucer and spooned some soup into it and set it on the kitchen floor. "Come closer," she said. "I don't aim to hurt you, I promise." Despero sniffed. The soup smelled wonderful, incredible. Keeping one eye on Cook, he stepped out from behind the spool of thread and crept closer. "Go on," said Cook, "taste it." Despero stepped onto the saucer. Soup covered his paws. He bent his head over to the hot broth. He sipped. Oh, it was lovely. Garlic and chicken and watercress, the same soup that Cook had made the day the queen died. "How is it?" said Cook anxiously. "Wonderful," said Despero. "Too much garlic?" said Cook, wringing her fat hands. "No," said Despero, "it's perfect." Cook smiled. "See," she said, "there ain't a body, be it mouse or man, that ain't made better by a little soup." Despero bent his head and sipped again, and Cook stood over him and smiled, saying, "It don't need a thing, then? Is that what you're saying? It's just right?" Despero nodded. He drank the soup in big, noisy gulps, and when he stepped out of the saucer, his paws were damp and his whiskers were dripping and his stomach was full. Cook said to him, "Not done already, are you? Surely you ain't done. You must want some more." "I can't," said Despero. "I don't have time. I'm on my way to the dungeon to save the princess." "Oh," said Cook. "You, a mouse, are going to save the princess?" "Yes," said Despero. "I'm on a quest." "Well, don't let me stand in your way." And so it was that Cook held open the door to the dungeon while Despero rolled the spool of thread through it. "Good luck," she said to him. "Good luck saving the princess." She closed the door behind her and then leaned against it and shook her head. "And if that ain't an indicator of what strange days these are," she said to herself, "then I don't know what is. Me, Cook, feeding a mouse soup, and then wishing him good luck in saving the princess. Oh my, strange days indeed."